Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Stay Up podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I am author of the book, Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And as my guest this morning, I'm excited to have the street artist Blinky. Blinky, how you doing?
I'm tired right now.
Blinky's been up all night. Yeah, you've been up all night, and you've been out working, and you stayed up just to make our podcast this morning, which I really appreciate. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, instead of going to bed, I just decided to stay up, you know. I went out pacing with a couple artists, Scythe, Animal and Man, and Sprout. And, we went out until, like, 4 or 5 or something, and then I just decided to stay up. I was watching Exit Through the Gift Shop on Netflix.
Oh, there you go.
Prepare for the interview.
This is perfect. So hopefully you picked up a few tips there. I think you're going to do great, though. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, well, let's start off, like, just with sort of basic stuff terms of the character you use. And the name Blinky. Can you give us a little bit of origins behind that?
I got the name, I don't know, back in 2000 or something like that. And pretty much I got it from a website called bluemonkey.com. They had this contest called Show Us Your Monkey. And so you have to draw a monkey doing something. So I entered one time under my real name, and I didn't like what I drew for that. I cheated, and, like, you're only supposed to answer once. So I cheated, and I did another one. And one of the characters that I drew in that drawing was named Blinky from Pac-Man. So I entered under the name Blinky. And I ended up winning that stupid contest. And, so I got stuck with the name. I mean, for my first art show, I did an art show back in Fullerton, and I invited two of my favorite artists to do that show with me. And I told them, I like both of their names. Like, they both had like, you know, cartoony names. And one of the guys was Black Gums, and then the other guy's name was Crayola. He goes by Greg Simpkins mostly now. And I called both of them, and I was talking to them. I was like, I want to come up with a cool name like you guys. Like, and then Black Gums said, oh, yeah, I like Blinky. And he asked his girlfriend, he's like, yeah, Blinky, you can't change it. Just leave it. And Crayola pretty much said the same thing, and his wife said the same thing, so... I tried to change it, but I just couldn't think of anything else
But what's it like trying to change it? Would you just go out and try something under another alias?
Yeah, and it didn't work, and I couldn't, stick with this. So I was like, screw it. I'll just be Blinky for now.
Yeah, it's part of your identity. Even you sign your emails that way, and it's. I gotta imagine it just creeps into your life.
Yeah, so I just use it with everything now.
Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit about how you entered the street art world then? Because obviously you have this character Blinky. How'd that start?
I think back in 2003, I was doing like art shows with like Gallery 1988 and. Monkey House and Think Space and Cannibal Flower and all those things. Mm-hmm. And I started meeting a couple, like, different artists. Like, I met Shepard Fairey and Caesar and Buff Monster, Zoso, and a bunch of dudes that were doing, like, the whole street art thing. And I liked how they made their, these little stickers, and they just blew them up with the, machine at Kinko's, the enlargement machine.
Enlarger.
And I thought that was cool, so I just started doing that. And I started doing the actual, getting into doing a lot of street art because I got tired of waiting for galleries, to put me in their shows. Like, I would do a show 1 month, and next month, they wouldn't ask me to do the damn shows. So I got sick of waiting for them, and I was like, fuck these galleries. I'm just going to do my own outdoor art show,
Sure. It's free.
Nobody has to pay for anything. But I felt a little bit strange about, putting prices on paintings and this and that, but because before I started doing gallery shows, I would just give away the paintings to, ex-girlfriends and friends and stuff like that. So pricing stuff and all this, you know, like putting money on the art, like this, it felt weird to me. And it still does feel weird to me. So I wanted to do street art because it was free and it was like just, you know, it was pure, you know, it's just for fun. It's like
sure.
just for the fun of it, you know, just for art. Just,
yeah,
for everybody, you know.
Yeah, and at that time, in 2003, 2004, you mentioned a few of the artists, Shepard Fairey, Caesar, Buff Monster. I mean, how many people were actually doing street art? I mean, was it a pretty small handful?
Yeah, not too many. Yeah, just a couple of people. Not like after that Exit Through the Gift Shop movie, like it's like everybody's doing street art now. Everybody and their grandma and their little 10-year-old kid, they're doing it now. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Long, but whatever.
Yeah,
I think everybody
definitely
can be a street artist. Just to Photoshop some stuff, Photoshop Jessica Simpson, put a crown on her head, and just like go out there and paste it up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's something about that. It's so easy to get into it, and obviously
yeah.
a formula has been set from a movie like that that's kind of made, obviously tongue in cheek, makes fun of it. But yeah, it's changed quite a bit since then. Okay, so given that, I mean, yeah, I think it certainly did. I mean, even as somebody from the outside and having watched my students watch it, I mean, there is something inspiring about it. And for the same reasons you got into it, that it was a way to subvert the gallery system, et cetera. But all of a sudden, when it becomes the mainstream, it's not quite the same anymore. So given all those. Yeah, it is. I mean, given
it's not
all
that mysterious anymore and cool and everything.
Exactly. So why do you keep doing it then? I mean, what is it that keeps you going, even though this sort of trend is caught on?
It's kind of lame and kind of stupid now, but I mean, it's still kind of fun to do. Actually, you know, go out and do it. Like I said last night, I went out with some friends, and it was fun. You know, just like just hang out with some friends and just do some like tagging and do like put up some posters. It's just fun for me still. So whenever it becomes like boring and not fun anymore, then I'll probably just stop doing it. Because
yeah.
that's it. I like painting.
Okay.
I like photography. I don't even call myself a street artist. I don't even like to call myself a street artist because it's like everybody calls themselves a street artist now. Like for me, I'm more of a painter. I like painting and drawing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think
that's.
Well, sorry, Jim, I'm not awake yet. My brain's not working. You know, I wanted to tell you, but we were talking about the Exit Through the Gift Shop movie, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you about back in 2006, that's the first time I heard about Banksy. Like, I never heard of the guy. I never knew who he was until back in 2006. I was working at Whole Foods, and some dudes were talking about Banksy this, Banksy that. He's going to have a show in L.A. called Barely Beagle, and I was like, who the fuck, who is this Banksy dude? And so, anyways, I got fired from my job that day. Like, actually not that day, the day before the Barely Legal show. Because these guys were, like, bitching about, like, oh, dude, I can't get the day off. I want to go see that Banksy show. I'm like, whatever, who's Banksy? I checked online, and it was just, like, they had a picture of a naked girl wearing a monkey mask. And I was like, oh, go check this out. So, so after I got fired from that job, I went over to see the Banksy show, and I got some posters from there, and it was fun. It was a fun, really fun show. I like, sold the posters because I got fired from my job, and I couldn't pay my rent or anything, so Banksy saved me from becoming homeless. I got to sell the posters and make some money. Yeah, so street art has saved my life pretty much.
There you go. I like that story. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Well, obviously, since then, it's changed. As we said, it's changed quite a bit. What are the main trends that you see in L.A. street art that, you know, just observing the culture of it and having curated several shows yourself, having so many connections and generations, basically, in street artists? Because the folks that I hear you talking about now are very much different from the early 2000s. So what are the big trends, you think?
I don't follow street art, so I don't really know what's going on with the whole thing. Most of it, like I said, is kind of lame. Like, there's like a lot of lame stuff going on, and I don't really dig it too much, you know. It's like too many posers and lamos out there, you know, like writing blogs and putting up their stupid little brand advertisements and pretending they're street artists at the same time. Like, there's a lot of bullshit out there.
Sure, and I understand that, but is there something about technical skill? Is there something about doing things large on a larger scale? Or is it really about longevity? Because it seems that longevity is a really big thing. If you've been in this for 10 years, there's a certain credibility that goes with that. If you've only been in 2 years, right?
Go ahead, Jim. Sorry, I keep bouncing.
No, it doesn't matter. It helps with the conversation. Yeah. So there's technique. There's longevity. I'm just curious, in terms of saying that things aren't the same quality or it's not as cool as it once was. What are those things that kind of frustrate you? Because you're a good painter. I mean, you can tell that you've had some training or you've just been doing it a long time that you know a paintbrush.
Well, I didn't really have too much training. Like, I took art all through art school. I started painting since I was in elementary school. I just loved painting. And I just always did it. I didn't really learn too much from, school, so I'm pretty much just self-taught. I just taught myself how to paint and stuff. Like, I just paint cartoony stuff. Like, I was inspired by, Disney and cartoons and stuff like that, comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with street art, I don't see too much technicality. It's mostly just Photoshop stuff,
Right.
I mean, some of it's kind of boring. It's like, it just seems like you could do anything. Just draw on, paper, draw a happy face on it, and then if you glue it on the wall, it's considered street art now. It's retarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I understand exactly.
I think people were kind of scared to go out and, put something up, but then once they see, it seems like everybody's doing it, they see, movies about it, and they see, it's on The Simpsons and things like that, so it's not that, people are not that scared to do it anymore, so I guess that's why it's not that cool. I mean, I like graffiti better because you don't hear too much about, graffiti guys. They like to keep, hidden. And with street art people, it's like, you see their pictures all over the place. They're, posing with this guy and that guy. Because, cops don't really care about street art, I put up posters with, four or five police cars driving right past me, and they don't care. Just wasted them. And they don't care. It's just paper and glue, But if you have a spray can in your hand, then the police are, going to come down on you. I've had a couple of friends that have been arrested and, charged, over $1,000 just for, tagging some stupid wall. And they've been in positions where they couldn't really escape, they're in, some rooftop and they're tagging something and the police is just, right there waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they care about that because with spray paint, graffiti, stuff like that, it's, police think everybody who with the spray can is a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just a dude with paper and glue, they just think you're putting up those movie advertisements or whatever. Those adverts you see everywhere in LA. They don't really care about it, I think.
Yeah, it's street art is just a little bit closer to the design world and the professional art world compared to graffiti. So it exists in the middle, and you're right, it doesn't have the stigma always with it, and it doesn't carry the danger or the illegality as much as something like graffiti. So it isn't as dangerous, and it is, and you made a joke before, and there was a street artist that started putting things up called Grandma, and that everybody and their grandma is doing it. So
I didn't know that.
Funny, and street artists, street artists, some of them aren't afraid to show their face. Others are. But I suppose it depends where you are on that barometer, if you're more towards the graffiti spectrum or more towards the street art professional design world aesthetic. Yeah. The other thing you said I thought was interesting is that, so I asked you about technicality or painting or skill, and that's something you picked up. It sounds like you're self-taught or you've been doing it a long time. But that a lot of the street art going on right now is design-oriented. It's Photoshop. And it seems as though a lot of these street artists that I've talked to come from design backgrounds. They don't come necessarily from drawing and painting backgrounds.
Yeah.
So that also seems to play into the type of work they do, which can be simple, or it can seem fairly quick in the way it's done.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, you know,
I just recently, well, go ahead, Morgan, say Blinky.
Oh, I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm not wide awake right now. I'm just bullshitting right now.
Okay,
I'm
so
just talking out of my ass, really.
No, it's all right. This is perfect. I mean, I just recently went to a show you curated at Monkey House Toys, and you brought together a group of artists that you are that are completely different from a show you curated, I don't know, six years ago. Years ago, I think it, you sent me an ad had Shark Tooth in it, and then the new one.
A lot of people, a lot of artists.
A lot of those have become bigger names in the street art world or the art world, per se, having gallery shows. And now you developed a new group around you for this new show. Can you talk a little bit about that and the folks involved?
Yeah, pretty much just artists that I like that just caught my eye. They're not boring. They're fun. And, you know, I met like 90% of them, and they're all cool people. And that's mostly what I, like, when I curate these shows, I put artists that are cool and they're nice. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the problem with that, like I said, I've done these little shows before, and some of these artists, like, they were cool when I met them, and then after they start to get their little attention, they're, like, too cool to pick up the phone, they're too cool to reply to a Facebook message.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, once these dudes get their little attention, they, like, think they're too cool for everybody, and that's something I don't like. I don't like when artists have a you know, like, what's the word for that? You know, like, where they're just douchebaggy, you know, like, where they think they're too cool to, like, say hi, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I
you
just
want
don't
people
agree
to be
with,
authentic.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just so fake to me, you know? Like, they're nice to people who are giving them money and, like, gallery owners, and they're nice to people that can give them something. But if
mm-hmm.
you can't, like, really, like, give them, if you're not giving them any money or you're not putting them in any shows or any big stuff, whatever, then they act like fake, you know, they're just fake to me. That, like, that's funny and fake. Now, don't
mm-hmm.
be, like, they're, like, if you're a gallery owner, they're going to, like, suck your cock. But if you're just,
mm-hmm.
like, some regular person that can't really give them anything, then, you know, like, you know what, there's been too many artists that I've met, you know, like, it's just retarded. First, they're nice, you know, they're nice, they, like, really cool people, and then once they get their little attention, they get their little gallery shows and representation and this and that. All of a sudden, they're, like, too cool to, you know, talk to everybody else. You know, I really don't like that. And most of these, like, actually, all of the people that I invited to be in this show, they're all really cool people, and they're all down to earth, and they're all talented, and, you know, they're really cool, and I like them all. So I'm trying to help them, you know, start doing their little gallery shows and just, you know, just start, get their foot in the door, in other words, you know. So they don't have to be vandals and just go around tagging up stuff and they can, like, you know, try to make money off of doing this. You know what I mean? Just trying to, like, give them a, point them in the right direction, in other words.
Yeah, I think that's honorable. And it seems as though you like to surround yourself with other creatives. And you've created a few support structures for this to happen. And watching you, because I got to attend the show, and that's the first time I got to meet you, you very kindly introduced me and walked me around to various artists. So I thought there's something to be said about that, and I appreciate the kindness there. So thinking about where you are now as an artist, I mean, what do you hope to be doing 10 years from now in your art career?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be doing 10 minutes from now. I'm going to be sleeping. But, you know, like, about that Monkey House show, the owner of Monkey House is, her name's Myra. She's a good friend of mine. I've known her for years. And, like, she actually moved her gallery from, you know, from one place to another because the, you know, the landlord was just raising the rent. So I curated the show for her, you know, like, just to, like, you know, kind of to tell people, okay, the new gallery's right here, you know, just to give them a little bit of a spotlight. You know, that's why, like, I invited a bunch of artists to be in the show and, you know, just promoting it so, you know, people will know where her art gallery is, you know, because, like I said, she's a friend of mine, and I was just, like, trying to help her out and trying to, like, put the gallery back on the map, you know, because, like I said,
mm-hmm.
like, she has to move it, and not too many people know where the new location is at, and she's really cool, and I've done shows with a lot of galleries. I've done shows with almost every gallery in L.A., and 90% of them are douchebags. I mean, I'm talking about the owners. Like, most, I try to be cool with all of them, you know, but I realize that these gallery owners, they're just out for themselves. They're just trying to, they're almost like, sort of like leeches or vampires. They just, like, feed off of the artist, you know. But I have met a lot of cool gallery people, but, you know, most of them are just, like, douchebaggy. And that's why I got into street art, because I didn't want to deal with some of these douchebags. And I just wanted to just, like, you know, I didn't want to worry about how much I'm going to charge for this or how much I'm going to charge for that. Or if my painting doesn't sell, they're not going to invite me back. You know, so I just, like, that's how, why I got into street art, because it's free for everybody. You don't got to pay for it. And just, like, you can take pictures of it, whatever you want, you know, it's just for fun. And that's, for me, the whole thing with art, street art or painting or photography or any kind of art, for me, it's just fun because, like I said, like curating the show, it's like I felt like I was just with a bunch of kids and we're like in elementary school again, and that's why I was like taking you around and introducing you to them. It's like it's just fun, you know. There's no pressure about like, okay, like what if we don't sell? What about this? What about that? It was just about having fun and just like putting on a show. You know what I mean? It's not like it wasn't sponsored by Red Bull or any of that stuff. It was just, it's a nice normal little show, and for me, I like those kind of shows.
Yeah, it's always the difficult thing.
Very gallery.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like where can you put a show on of street artists without it going too far to the other side or too close to that professional art world if that's not what you want. So these, and I would describe Monkey House Toys as sort of an alternative space. Its primary function is not a gallery, but it can't be set up for so. And perhaps those are some of the better places to exhibit because it is unusual and is just not quite as far off to the other side. Even those street art galleries, I think, are usually on the lower end of many of the LA galleries in terms of getting exposure and reputation and things like that. And that's just because it's the affiliation, the idea of it's a lower brow type of art. But yeah, I think it's a nice balance. So that maybe says something a little bit about what you're going to be doing in the future. Is you're just looking to continue this, to continue to surround yourself with folks that you find that are doing things that you like, that you want to spend time with. And yeah, so I mean, I can't see that as being a bad goal.
Well, the thing for me is I'm always going to do art. I'm always going to paint and draw and do street art and do whatever, you know. And it's just because it's a passion of mine. It's something I love, and I'll do it whether or not I'm getting paid for it, you know. Like, that's not what it's about. I didn't, like, start doing art because I wanted to be rich doing it. It's just, like, for me, it's just about having fun with it.
Yeah.
And, I'm just trying to have fun with it, and if it gets boring, then, yeah, I'll go back to working at Whole Foods or Walmart or some one of those stupid jobs. Wait, let me tell you a quick story about that. I got fired for vandalism / pornography.
Yeah.
I'm working at a pavilion, and somebody drew a dick or a cock on the wall. I'm trying to think of a nice word for penis. There you go. Somebody drew a penis on the bathroom wall, and it was what do you call that, like unisex, where guys and girls can go in there?
Yeah, what's that called?
I don't know, whatever it's called. Guys and girls bathroom where they both can go in there. Anyway, so somebody drew a cock in there, and then I drew a little happy face on it, and then I drew little arms and legs on it, and little, like, Mickey Mouse glove hands, and a little hat on the penis head. And so there's this old lady outside. I saw her walking by, and she was kind of bummed because she was going through a divorce and everything. And so I was like, hey, check this out. This is funny. And then I showed her, and then, like, she's like, did you draw that? I'm like, no. She's like, that's not the response I got. You know, I thought she'd be like, ha-ha, that's funny or something. I was just trying to cheer her up. Anyways, about 5, 10 minutes later, I get called to the office, and they're like, did you paint a penis on the wall? And I was like, it's not a painting. It's a drawing. And anyway, I got fired. So.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I got to choose of that because, like, they already knew that I painted and I was into drawing and stuff. But,
yeah,
they asked me if I painted it, and I was like, it's just a drawing. It's not a painting.
Yeah.
Got fired for that.
He caught him on the technicality. Well, cool, Blinky. I think this is probably a good place to end. Is there some place we could point towards point folks towards to learn more about you or to, if they want to look up your artwork?
Yeah, just Facebook, I guess. Just Facebook. Check out Facebook. And, I'm working on a vinyl Blinky toy with a 3D Retro and October Toys and BKE. And let's see, what else are we doing? And I'm doing a show in New York with Gallery 1988. It's a group show with Crazy for Cults. And I don't know what else I'm doing. Just doing a bunch of stuff. Doing CD covers for people, and I don't know what else I was doing. I'm doing a couple of different things that I can't remember right now. I should have wrote them all down.
No problem.
Is
a show in New York.
Is it really popular?
Say that again?
I mean, is this street art stuff really popular? Like, do people really care about it?
Who knows? It seems as though the thing is, it is, to me, from my perspective, it has become a global phenomenon. I think folks are interested in street art all around the world, and I see it crossing into pop culture. You know, places that you wouldn't expect, whether you're at the mall, you're at Disneyland, or you're wherever, and aspects come into the design of environments, into clothing, into books and publications. I think it's everywhere. And that's part of the reason I'm sort of fascinated with it, because I think it is an approachable type of art that much of the conceptual art world has forgotten. They've forgotten sort of the everyday person. And that's who I think is attracted and drawn to it. And I think that's a neat thing. I think there's a lot of wonderful redeeming qualities in street art, but I also think there's a lot of counterintuitive aspects that don't make any sense.
What's counterintuitive mean? I dropped out of college.
Counterintuitive. You know, it doesn't agree, or it doesn't mesh. They contradict each other.
Speaking of pop culture, like you were saying, Jay-Z mentioned Banksy in one of his songs. He was like talking about something about Banksy's and Basquiat's. So even rappers are starting to talk about street art. You know.
Oh, of course.
Like, street art is becoming like the Louis Vuittons and stuff like that. You know, like the expensive things for rappers to get.
Exactly. And there's something that seems very wrong about that, that goes against the romantic aspects of street art.
Yeah.
But at the same point, it's not as though it's a field or a type of artwork that shouldn't be celebrated in that respect either. So.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's pretty fascinating. Those are those counterintuitive things that I like about it and make discussions like this a lot of fun.
Let me tell you one last thing.
Yeah, go for it.
Do we have time? Do we have a minute?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Tyson, do we have a second?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tyson didn't even chime in this time.
I know. Tyson promised he would chime in, but
I'm not collecting sound effects for you.
Yeah, we didn't get any sound effects or anything.
Time.
We didn't even get a chance to get any callers.
There's too much vital information to go through.
I was listening to your interview with Smear the other day, the podcast. And the last thing I remember, every time I think about Smear, this is what pops into my head. Like, it was me, Smear, and a friend named NoFi and Ribbon Controller. And we were just talking because we were going to go out and do pasting or whatever, tagging, whatever they were doing. And all of a sudden, Smear just sticks out his wiener in the middle of the street and just starts taking a piss right in front of me. And, like, I thought it was funny because when he was pissing, he like, the splash of it was hitting my friend's shoe. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, oh, come on, dude. And what I remember from it, I'm like, damn, Smear has a small little weenie.
I'm sure Smear will be very, very happy about that. And I'm sure I'll get a nice email from him after.
I'm cool with Smear. He's a friend of mine. I like the guy. He's a friend.
He's been a very big supporter through all of this, and he actually wrote the foreword to the book.
I heard about that too. Yeah, and he's been through a lot of like trouble and crazy shit.
Yeah, and so we're happy for him that he's cleared of that, but I'm sure...
Yeah, I'm glad he's out of jail, and he got some girl pregnant and everything. He's doing all right.
Yeah, and I can't imagine why you run into trouble with folks.
Well, I sometimes say a lot of stupid shit, and, so if I get into, little beefs with, faggot-ass bloggers and stupid-ass people like that, but it's all fun, it's all good. I love everybody.
Yeah.
I got
well,
love
thank
for everybody,
you,
and yeah, thank you for doing this little interview thing. I've never really done a podcast interview, and you know, I thought I would have nothing to say, but yeah, I had a few little stupid things to talk about, so it's all good.
Yeah, we very much did, and it was nothing short of entertaining. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right,
thank
so we'll be back again next week at 9:30 a.m. Folks can also listen to us on Blog Talk Radio. But in the meantime, if you're interested in hearing this interview again or in future interviews, you can visit us on our Facebook page, Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And until then, we'll let the music of Desire Obtain Cherish take us out, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye. Can people still hear us?